This is the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. The following lecture, titled Islam, wants the individual and the community to have peace in the soul and peace established in the community. It was recorded on the campus of Duke University, February 5th, the year 2002. And now, W. Dean Muhammad.
And greetings of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. We praise God, alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen, who is Lord, Teacher, Cherisher of all the world. We witness that He is one, and that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is the last of the prophets and the seal of the prophets. I'm very pleased again to and honored, my community is honored, that I've been again invited to come here on this campus of Duke University and address this audience, distinguished persons and believers, Muslims from around the area and non-Muslims in this beautiful Duke Chapel. We should know, all of us should know, Islam as a religion of peace, because our greeting is peace. Our name is derived from the word peace, Muslim. And our religion is also derived from the word peace, Islam. But we are not always aware ourselves who embrace Islam or who accept Islam as our religion in America, and I imagine in other places too of the world. We are not aware of this religion as a religion of peace, and ourselves as peacemakers, and our greetings as a greeting of peace. We are more aware of ourselves as an ummah, or community, an international body of people following our Prophet Muhammad and the book that he received from God to all of us, the Quran. And it's very important that we do understand that Muslims are a community, and that Islam is a message from God to the people of the world, not just to Arabs or Africans, but to all the people of the world, to guide us into the best model of community life. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was preaching the religion and giving the Quran as he received it over a period of 21 years. However, during the first 10 or 11 years, he was in Mecca, and the religion was not established yet. It was just being taught. When he was given the invitation to leave hostile Mecca and the Meccans of that time, to go to Medina, he finally did arrive in Medina, and then he began to establish the religion as the religion of not only the human heart, but the religion of the human community. Prayers, daily prayers, five-time prayers were established, and a center for teaching and educating the adherents in the knowledge of Quran and Islam, following the way of the Prophet, began. And the community grew, was established under his leadership. In fact, he took his own hands and picked up bricks and worked with the workers to build the first mosque or masjid there in Medina. Peace be upon our Prophet and blessings. God says to us in our holy book, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. Yourselves and your families from the fire. And in another place the fire is described, is given description. Fires that send flames leaping over the sentiments or the hearts of human beings. The fires of appetite. The fires of ill passions. The fires of disappointment. The fires of anger. Our Prophet once said, prayers and peace be upon him, to someone he told him, do not be angry. Do not be angry. That is, do not feed anger. Resist anger when it arises in you. In us, we are to resist it. We are not to feed it. It's like feeding the flames. We know that ill passions, appetites that are not lawful for the religious community, could burn out human sentiments, innocent, good, healthy human sentiments, and make us hard, insensitive, apathetic, void of love and kindness for one another, toward one another. And when we become victims of the fires, we lose our human identity as well as our religious identity. The worst is to lose our human identity and behave like animals, be as cruel beasts, devouring each other's properties. This is the curse, the first taste of the hellfires, death and the hellfires. Pakistan's president, I read in the Chicago's daily papers, rejected all forms of terrorism. The terrorism that we are witnessing now in the world is very strange and very difficult for just an observer to really identify or describe. Most of these Muslims, who have the name Muslim, and I'm sure in their own hearts they believe they are good Muslims, who sacrifice themselves to get at their enemies, are not persons that have the common sense that we are aware of. They are not persons who want violence or want to destroy things. They are not persons who drink liquors, drink strong drinks, or use narcotics. They are not persons who are indecent in their behavior as members of society or as family members. They won't cheat on their wives. So they are not guilty of the popular sins. that we are acquainted with, they have been driven to the point of insanity by horrible things that has happened in their lives. And we should, as Reverend Otis Moss, African-American leader of a big Christian following in Cleveland, Ohio, said at one of the interfaith meetings I attended, hosted by him and our Imam of Cleveland, Imam Clyde Rahman, the Reverend Dr. Otis Moss, speaking of the horrible tragedy of September the 11th, he said in his last words to us, "This deserves deep thought. We have to think deep into it." That's what he said. And I felt that I was really thinking and feeling the same thing that he was thinking and feeling as he gave these words to the audience. This is not to excuse the crimes or any criminal. This statement from the President of Pakistan went on to say that he rejected all forms of terrorism and dropped customary excuses for Islamic militants battling for control in India so that they can have Kashmir, which is a disputed area claimed by both the Indians and the Pakistanis. The statement followed a meeting with the British Prime Minister, Tony Blair. And he had an opportunity to see your problem in a bigger picture of relatedness. These things are related. Our problem that we have in the Middle East is related to the problem that's in Kashmir and even outside of the Muslim circle. And it, whether it's related directly or not, is related, because what we do in one area affects all other areas in time once the news gets to those other areas. And it affects the life and interest of others that don't identify with our life, the Muslim life. But we could accept to meet with each other and talk and remain sober and respectful of one another, we can have more peace in the world, more peace in the world. For those wounded by tragedies and bad treatment from others, they have their own opinion of what is right and wrong. They have their own opinion of what is justice and what is not justice. Their hearts are their scales for weighing justice. And how we perceive what is right or wrong, or what is just or unfair, not just, depends on what our own circumstances are and what our own life is in those circumstances, or under those circumstances. Given the problems and complications in the peace efforts for the Middle East, or for the Middle East, Kashmir, and other areas, many who are wounded by the happenings, ugly happenings in the world, are not in a normal human condition to hear what their religion has to offer to the situation. Not to mention being in a condition to listen to a representative of the United States, the president himself. Many are not even open to listening to what their religion says. They're too hurt. They don't know enough about their religion to believe or have faith that their religion has answers or have solutions for them. World governments, world orders that shape history and are shaping history, they should be expected to come up with the moral stance and fortitude to listen to victims of conflict like those we have in the Middle East, in Kashmir, and in many other places. The complaints of these victims are important to problems and hence also to solutions. Most Muslims do not study the holy book of Muslims, the Quran, called the Quran in the media by most Americans. In the United States of America, public education is law. It is required of all citizens to have studies in government, in elementary schools, in the high schools, and in the high schools. The law protects people's rights to be properly informed of the ideas, laws, and procedures, etc., established to protect citizens and to protect their government. In the Muslim land, how the Quran and Muhammad's life tradition should serve to guide and protect citizens and their governments is not required study. Moreover, by and large, their leaders, their minds of their leaders, have not been allowed to heal from the wounds of the Crusades, colonial domination of their lands, and the hardened Israeli occupation today, which appears to be saying. Others have no right to anything if Israel wants to take it. In the Quran, the holy book of Muslims, Allah the Lord Creator says to us, and take the better thereof. The sacred scriptures, the book of the Jews, or the books of the Jews, Quran and their books, the book of the Christians, the Bible, and the Quran. All shows human life in its excellence and also in its ignorance, in its sins. Holy Scripture is a compliment to man, a warning against temptations too. Temptations inviting humans to divorce the what movement for low desire, to divorce their high calling for a corrupt life. All of this is given in history, in our scriptures, as a history of people who went astray. If we go to these scriptures without good motive, clean motive, we will think we are recognizing something that we should accept and apply to our own lives, or for the good of our own lives, and it will be something really condemned by the scriptures. We'll be reading something out of context, or reading something without an understanding of what is being said by God and to whom God is speaking. The Bible and the Quran are for leaders and for their public. But we know that many portions of Bible and Quran are too complex and too difficult to understand for the common person. What I'm saying is that the Bible and the Quran are scriptures of the religious people need to be taught, and need to be taught by honest, decent people who are well-meaning, not those who are in it because they hate somebody, or in it because they want to put down somebody, but are in it because they love mankind, humanity, and in it because they want to contribute to the betterment of humanity, human beings all over the world, everywhere. The Quran came down to humanity, mankind, as a guide to the best human behavior, as a guide to the best moral life, ethical life, industrial life, governmental life, financial life, devotional excellence. This is what the Quran came down to us for, to have us turned on to devotional excellence. Muhammad the Prophet, he said that God has inscribed excellence on everything, or for everything. And he said another saying, whenever the believer endeavors to do something, the believer seeks to perfect it, make it excellent. The Prophet also has taught us that God is beauty and loves beauty. But we miss all of this when we get into an entanglement with enemies, people we have complaints against, people we want to see punished for the wrongs they have done to us, and we lose ourselves. We lose more than our religious identity. We lose our human identity. God, in the Quran, he asks us to search the scripture with our spiritual curiosity and also with our rational curiosity, to search the scripture. God does not want dumb believers. God wants informed believers, educated believers, believers having enough knowledge of their lives to manage their lives successfully in community with others who may not identify with them in the same faith or in the same life, for that matter. I quote the builder of the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He didn't know the Quran. He didn't know how to read Arabic. He mostly read the Bible to motivate his people, his following, his African-American following, to inspire them, to give them a sense of the fear of God, a sense of the need, the obligation to obey God. But he had a belief that the Quran was the right book revealed by God, and that Islam was the right religion